got me sitting in the back corner, 'cause I'm feeling kinda different when I'm picturing us kissing in your marble counter kitchen in the fourth quarter of those finals that we're missing. 'Cause I'm sitting in the corner wishing. And your boyfriend's living seven borders away, and I know you say there's no way, but I'm picturing us kissing in your marble counter kitchen in the fourth quarter of those finals that we're missing. 'Cause I'm sitting in the corner wishing. But she's just looking for a best friend.
Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, and I'm joined by co-host Jeff.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day indeed.
The holidays are approaching.
It is beginning to look a lot like Thanksgiving.
Just a little.
Just a little bit. But before we get into what we watch this week, because I want you to tell everybody what the theme is, we're going to plug some music here in the podcast. And this month, we want to give a shout-out to the Montreal Canadian band. I almost said Canada. Canada.
Like an American would.
Like a red, call it. Red-blooded Canada. American. However, the alternative pop band group project from Montreal, Canada, with their song MCK. That's an acronym. I don't know what it stands for, and I don't know if they do either. But
K Fried C.
K. But we want to give a shout out to them for allowing us to use their music here on our podcast. You can hit the show notes. You find them all below. And hit the links to all their social media accounts. They're doing big things all around. So give them a look, a follow, and a subscribe. A look, like, follow, and subscribe. That was a mouthful.
Look like them, then subscribe.
Yeah. They might appreciate that, actually. Anyways, Jeff.
Yes.
What did we watch this week?
Well, this month is movies based on or around toys, so either it's a movie about toys or a movie based on a famous toy line. So it's your week to pick, and you decided to have us watch the original Transformers. Not the original, not the cartoon, but the one directed by Michael Bay, released in 2007, starring Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox, as well as Tyrese and Anthony Anderson and John Voight and John Turturro and Kevin Dunn.
Josh Duhamel?
Yeah, I don't... What has he been in?
A ton of stuff.
Great. So, from a ton of stuff, Josh Duhamel. like I said, came out in 07, directed by Michael Bay, master of explosions. And what was your history with this movie, and why did you pick it for us to watch? Because I know you've seen it before.
Oh, I've seen it multiple times. I'm a big Shia LaBeouf fan, right?
Is established.
Yes. And this is, so, what, 2007?
Yep.
This one? So he's coming, you know, coming off of the Even Stevens hype in the early to mid-2000s. And he had done some smaller cameo, not cameo stuff, but, like, you know, bit role stuff in some other projects that that were before this, namely... Constantine with Keanu Reeves, where he plays a minor character who's, you know,
he was an iRobot.
He was an iRobot, right? And so he had found, like, his shtick at the time was this kind of just goofball kid, right? That was what he was in Even Stevens, and even though I really liked him in Even Stevens, I really thought that. And actually, honestly, I didn't know at the time. But as I saw him in Constantine and iRobot, and I was like, oh, you know, he might have some actual acting ability. And then he's cast in this film, and I saw it, and I was really kind of blown away by how well he carried this film at times. And I'm a closet Michael Bay fan. All right.
Not anymore. This is going to be broadcast to the world.
He gets a lot of shit, but man, he makes an entertaining fucking movie, right?
Sometimes,
most of the time. We'll talk. This is going to be a Michael Bay centric episode. But you know, I think my first Michael Bay film was Bad Boys. right? Will Smith, Martin Lawrence. And ever since then, every time I heard Michael Bay's name, and then I think my second film was probably Armageddon. And it's just every time he was associated with a film in the 90s, it was this spectacle, right? He was known for having charismatic leads, comedy guys, even though Bruce Willis wasn't that. But it just, he directed films that were entertaining and had likable actors playing major roles. And I honestly, I don't think it's any different here. This was my favorite Transformers film. And there's like eight now, but this was my favorite. It is a spectacle from start to finish. And that's really why I picked it, is because I wanted to watch something that I thought we could. I didn't think you would hate this film, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't think so, and to this time right now I don't know if you did hate this film, but I'm assuming you've seen it as well prior to this.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters. I think my first experience with Michael Bay was probably The Rock.
Okay. Yep.
But. I generally like Armageddon. I'm fine with. He just makes summer blockbusters.
Right.
I would call them forgettable in a lot of cases. Like you go see Armageddon, you're not going to cry during the movie.
Are you kidding me, bro?
Armageddon is not great.
Are you kidding? No, bro. All right. This is what we're gonna do. This fucking episode is you're gonna die on the Armageddon sucks hill.
That's fine. I don't care.
Oh God.
I didn't want to even get into Armageddon.
Right.
I didn't know you hated it. The Rock is good. Bad Boys is good. The Island is mid. I'll tell you about Transformers in a bit, but the following Transformer films, although I've only ever seen Revenge of the Fallen, is poop, and Pain and Gain is poop, and those are about all I've seen. I'm not 59. A fan, generally speaking. But what I mean to say is I just said they're forgettable to me. Armageddon it's a fine summer action flick to me. It's forgettable, though. I don't have any desire to watch it ever again. And I kind of feel the same way about Transformers. I think I agree, although I've only seen two of them. This is the best Transformers that is in Michael Bay's wheelhouse. Like the Bumblebee one, I think is kind of adjacent, but it's really directed by other people and done with a little more love and care for the source material. And I don't hate this. I saw it in theaters and I remember being like, yeah, that was fun. A forgettable summer action romp. And watching it again this time, and I felt the same way. I was entertained. And after it was over, I'm like, I don't think I'll watch that again. A forgettable action romp.
All right, you want Michael Bay's top three IMDb ratings with the films. All right, we'll start with his highest rated film,
The Rock.
The Rock, 7.4 on IMDb. All right, mm-hmm. Coming in at number two, the action flick 13 Hours, with a 7.3.
Might be great. Okay. I don't know.
Might be great. Michael Bay month coming soon.
No, God, no. I quit. No.
Mm-mm. Coming in at number three, Transformers.
Yeah.
7.0 IMDb rating. This film, it's very, very much bloated, right?
Yes.
It's 2 hours and 20 something minutes long. And,
long for a Transformers movie.
It does.
And they only get longer. Aren't some of them like 3 hours long?
If they are, I haven't seen them.
I missed for Age of Extinction.
I miss like the middle chunk of the Transformers.
Yeah, they're
film.
Awful. I haven't seen them, but they're awful. So 2.5 hours for Revenge of the Fallen. After that is Dark of the Moon, 234. So those are about in the same wheelhouse. Last night's 234. That's the first Wahlberg one. But Age of Extinction is 245. So that's a lot of Transformers exploding and shit that I just... So here's my thing. this movie, while it is fine, does not do a lot to get me hyped for the franchise. To be like, hell yeah, more of this, please. Because I think it comes down to the robots, right? I don't care. Like, I think Bumblebee's cool. And, of course, the iconic voice of Optimus Prime is still there throughout the series. He's awesome. But generally speaking, the movies are just so goofy that it just doesn't pull me back into the theater. Nothing says, hey, come on, you know, don't you want to see Sam Witwicky again? I know. I'm good. No thanks.
See, but the, all right. And that's fine. They are, you know, it is a long film. Sometimes you can feel it. Other times, you know, you're pausing, you're like three quarters of the way through and you're like, oh, huh.
This one didn't feel that bad.
No, it didn't. Right.
Now, I do know that the next one did. I was like, good God, man. And it just, and the plot, now, I haven't seen them, but I've seen reviews and watched, you know, clips. And the consistency seems to be that the plots just get more and more esoteric and outlandish and,
sure,
like, mythology and,
yeah,
you gotta look out for this. The thing about this movie that keeps it from being a poop fest is that there's the AllSpark. We got to get it before the bad robots get it. And that's your plot. And I'm kind of good with that. I like the relationship between Sam and Bumblebee. I think it works really well. I think every kid or every 16-year-old would love, yeah, to have a car that drives itself and protects you and is a big, awesome robot that helps you get one of the hottest women in the world somehow. I think that everybody can, every red-blooded American straight male would feel
American
the same way. And so I think all of that works.
I think a lot of that, you know, Sam or Shia LaBeouf playing a 16-year-old, even though I don't know how old he was, you know, when this movie was filmed, but he comes across as a just relatable kid, right? He's done other movies, and then maybe it was after this or before it. I'm not sure. With what is it called? Disturbia.
Yeah,
kind of horror.
Neighbor. Yeah,
the horror film. I thought that was really good, and it's really Shia LaBeouf, you know, carrying this film with a female, and a female co-star. But, I think that's what draws me to liking this film as much as I do.
Yeah,
is that Shia LaBeouf, I thought, was the perfect actor in that age range for this role, is because it requires some. I mean, the whole premise is outlandish, right? You know,
which I'm fine with.
Right. I mean, listen, if you're a kid born in the 80s or 90s, you know what Transformers are.
It's going to be robots that are from space, and that's fine. You're sticking to the source material. I'm cool with that. And it's like Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles on its surface is ridiculous. So you have to kind of ground the rest of the movie, right. And it doesn't okay. It gets a bit Michael Bay-y because it's just everything's fucking exploding and it's sharks and shit.
And I think that is another thing is why this film doesn't necessarily feel as long. It's because the movie starts with this crazy, like in any other movie would be the finale action sequence, right? Of the plane or the helicopter coming to the blowing up the base and, you know, establishing that these Transformers are badasses. And they're looking for this AllSpark, and they've discovered, or they think they discovered it in this base. I just think, like, that whole action sequence was, what, good 15, 20 minutes of the film? Start maybe of the film? Which is insane. So, and then we get into who Sam is. And you know, the first time we meet Sam, he's being goofy in front of a class trying to give a presentation, but he's also hawking his eBay account. And I think I just thought that was a good way for anybody to relate to to the character. And then, you know, and then we're introduced to Bo. I thought Sam Witwicky's relationship with his dad was really good.
The parents are hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought they're both great.
The two actors that played his parents were really good. And the whole sequence of him going to buy the car,
Late, great Bernie Mac?
Yeah. You know?
You don't like Bernie Mac?
No, I do. I forgot he was in this movie. You know, he's got a 5-minute part, and it's hilarious. But it's just, there's a lot of, you know, heart. This movie has heart.
You know, it kind of does. I like, mostly with him and his parents, I really like the scene where she's hiding in the room and the parents bust in and, you know, were you masturbating? And then the dad's like, that's a conversation for me and him to have. Stay out of it. Well, you know, we could call it Sammy's fun time. That whole sequence was great. All their little family stuff I really liked when the Autobots are outside and he's keeping his dad in the house. He's like, you handsome man, and just kind of overdo it. And Shia LaBeouf has comedic chops. I mean, that's kind of his thing, like from Even Stevens and to this. It's something that I think he's a comedian, not a comedian first, but a comedic actor first. And so that all works naturally here. So I kind of dug all of that. Really anything with his parents I found to be excellent. I think the cast is a bit bloated. I don't think we needed the whole hacker subplot, right? Because you get this group of hackers, none of which do much. You have the Australian lady that brings in Anthony Anderson. And he, I don't know, it just kind of was like, we got too many characters. And I think that's where I would say maybe less of these guys. Let's cut out the hackers. Because along with Sam Witwicky and the Autobots, we also have the military guys out there fighting things. And they're fine, you know. The Tyrese and the main guy, they have some charisma.
Josh Duhamel.
Sure. And their scene where they are going against John Turturro, it's like, John Turturro is awesome in this movie. He's really annoying, and you want to punch him, and that's the whole point. And so when you see him get peed on by an Autobot, you're like, ah, I got him.
It's also a Michael Bay thing.
Yeah, Michael Bay is weird.
He is weird.
Like, so, and I think the problem for me, too, is like that weirdness comes across in most of the Autobots that aren't Optimus Prime or Bumblebee. They tend to be racial stereotypes, and they just are one-dimensional and meaningless. Like, there's a point where one of them gets ripped in half by Megatron. Shouldn't I care? Shouldn't I be like, oh, shit, they killed whoever the fuck? I don't, right? So I think that's part of it. And if you take out the whole hacker subplot and you spend a little more time on the bots, maybe you build up a little more appeal for them to help us relate. Because it's, as we said last week, it's hard for us to relate to a robot. Like, and we're watching Real Steel and they're boxing and all this shit. And I don't care because it's a robot and they haven't done enough to make me care about the robot. The only time I cared was when Bumblebee got caught, you know, and I'm like, ah, shit, they got Bumblebee. And that's because Sam Witwicky's relationship with the car, what it means to him and me being able to relate to having my own Transformer as a car works. But that's all the real character development in this film. Megan Fox, while it should be noted, is not a damsel in distress. She is quite active and has a lot of agency.
Capable.
Yeah, she's very much part of the story. She's not just eye candy, but very much Michael Bay is the master of the masculine glare. And she is very attractive. So that's what we get a lot of. But I do think they do more with her than just be eye candy. She is quite capable and does make a lot of her own decisions and stuff like that.
Yeah, I actually think that you know, and I think based off of this performance, and I think this was her first like major role.
This was the breakout role, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I think based off this, people thought that, okay, hey, you know, This actress Megan Fox is
she became a household name in one movie. Well,
for sure. 100%.
Apparently she was in Bad Boys 2 briefly, Two and a Half Men. She had some other crap, but this was like her first actual big role, like a leading role.
Yeah, and ultimately she became recognizable because of her looks, but and arguably that was what propelled her forward, but I too thought she was pretty good in this, and I didn't really have any complaints. We actually got some backstory about her later on in the movie, some character development.
It's
for
a
Michael Bay film,
tacked on to me, you know.
Sure, right. It could have been established at the beginning,
and it doesn't play into a lot, right? Like, I don't know. It just felt tacked on to give a little depth, but
right.
It didn't felt like it was thought out and had anything that really developed her character in any way, because her actions aren't. Oh, then again, that she does kind of get on board with defying authority pretty quickly. Like when the John Turturro shows up and they're this secret government agent, she is really quick to just be like, fuck it, I'm handcuffing you guys to this. Right. We'll find out what happens to me later, you know, which is kind of like ballsy. But at the same time, you have giant robots. So I don't know. I did feel it was a little tacked on. But
no, I mean, it's fine. You know, she's fine in it, and she's not a hindrance to the film in any way. So
I think she helps the film. I think she's a positive effect on the film.
Sure.
Like I said, I think there's a point where her and Sam get separated, and she very much makes her own decision to work with Bumblebee in the tow truck to shoot things and blow them up and be part of the action as opposed to a sideline screamer. A matter of fact, I don't know. I think Sam does more screaming in the movie than Megan Fox's character ever does.
Yeah, he probably does.
Yeah, so I think that I don't want to call the movie progressive in any way, because she is very much there to be eye candy. And I think that the camera work is representative of that, all the high swooping shots above her so you can see down her blouse and all that sort of stuff. It very much is. That's, I think, why they hired her.
Yeah, for sure.
In spite of that, the character had more to offer than maybe they intended.
And I also like that Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox are the same age. You know, they didn't hire.
You didn't want him to have a MILF?
No, I didn't want him to. I didn't want to, like, because it kind of looks like Megan Fox is older than Shia LaBeouf in this film.
Shia LaBeouf has a baby face, for sure.
He does have, yeah. So they do. There is a look of age discrepancy, but I just looked them up. They're both born in 1986. So I like that. I like that Michael Bay actually got two actors that were the same age to play characters that are the same age. Because you don't often get that. But that's just a side note. What did you think of the CG in this film?
Oh, it stands the test of time. Like, I think if you say anything else about Michael Bay, the special effects are always great. Right? They hold up. I think the movie still looks great. Granted, a lot of that they can do because they are robots, and robots are easier to do CG on than any sort of organic thing that actually exists, right? Like doing CG humans and foxes and bears. That stuff's a little harder because we know what those look like. And since these are robot aliens and we don't know what they really are supposed to look like, it gives them a little edge. But that being said, the special effects still stand up. There's a lot of practical, like blowing up explosions that are combined with the CG. I think the special effects look great. I don't think that the robots look that great. They tend to just be jagged metal and gears. I kind of wish there was a little more effort in the design to, when they're transforming and doing their flips and shit, it looks cool. But I kind of would have liked to see a little more effort into the designs to not make it so confusing when they transform. I would have liked to have been able to see, oh, there's those tires and they go here. Like when you go back and watch the cartoons, and if you bought one of the toys, they would transform. the same way they did in the cartoon. Here, you can't buy a toy that does what these do because they're all just metal and just weird. And the other thing, my other problem, like specifically with the designs, is when they turn into robot form, they are way too big. Because they turn in from a Camaro into like a five-story building, you know, right. Like they're huge. Like their leg is the size of the car. And so there's a mass issue or a matter issue here where it doesn't quite work out, right? Like I think Optimus Prime should be the biggest one. He transforms from a semi. That makes sense. But they're all so damn huge that they don't actually fit into the vehicles that they transform out of.
Yeah. I mean, that's a valid complaint, I think, if you're talking from a technical standpoint. I didn't ever think about that, but now that you mention it, I'm like,
when you watch it again, you'll be like, holy shit. Because they're on, like, the scene where Bumblebee transforms, like, in front of Sam for the first time, and Sam is standing below him. The below the knee of the robot is as big as the Camaro was.
Yeah. I did enjoy the fact that this film does have effects that do still stand up. It's a testament how much money this Universal sunk into this Transformers film, and it for good reason. I mean, it made a ton of money,
right? And then they made six more of them, or right. even more than that. You know, yeah. So this was a cash cow for a good while, and I don't think until the really later ones that they kind of stop being these blockbuster, at least in terms of box office, right? Like they never stopped being spectacles of special effects, but at some point people were like, all right, enough. And I think that kind of was the thing that keeps me away from this. And I think even the following films maybe taint the legacy of this first one. I know I said taint.
Hey. No, it's a good point. I mean, it's a fair point. But other than that, you just really have to be in a sour mood, I think, to like really be down on this film, because it
maybe
is...
Maybe you're a hardcore Transformers fan. Maybe there's things there. They're like, they didn't do this right. You know, I understand why Megatron's not a gun. I get that. Because who's going to shoot him? You know, that thing, but
no, I mean, right. I didn't even count for that, but I could see that. But as a layman Transformers person, where I don't really care about the Transformers, I watched the cartoon when I was younger. It was fine and didn't really think like Beast Wars. I remember Beast Wars was a thing in the early 90s.
Remember, was it Autobots? Or there was like a Transformer rival, and I remember watching that. Was it called Autobots? I'll find out.
I don't remember. But no, I mean, so like Transformers always been on my peripheral, and I haven't really cared about, you know, the characters or anything. And so this movie was a good way to get just your regular action fan into a theater to see a movie about transforming robots. And it accomplishes what it set out to do, I think. And so for that, I appreciate this film, is because I didn't like that they moved away in the feature films away from Shia LaBeouf. Now, like, Transformers 2 wasn't as good as this one, but it still had Shia LaBeouf. He was still, you know, admirable in it. But then they went to Mark Wahlberg for whatever reason. Maybe they wanted more star power. I don't know. But
I think that Shia LaBeouf might have been canceled by that point. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he might have. But, you know, and, you know, honestly, I thought Mark Wahlberg's character in those films was fine. But it's the plot that was garbage. And, you know, the characters weren't as engaging in those films.
I'm looking up and I'm getting a wave of nostalgia now because I think even more than Transformers, the show I watched was called GoBots. And
GoBots.
It's a toy line created by Tonka, but there were sort of like the, you know, oh, they're making Transformers and they're really popular. Let's also make Transformers. And they were called GoBots. And the TV show, I'm just seeing a couple images. There's a robot called Psykill, and I'm like, oh, like it just hits that I used to watch this. I'm gonna see if I can find something to watch at some point because my brain is 8 years old again. Because I remember there being a robot with a tape deck in its chest, nice. And I was that Autobots or was it GoBots? I you know, my brain, it's you know, I don't know.
The dollar store Transformers, which I'd never, that doesn't do anything for me, right? I didn't really pay attention to Transformers when it was
a Transformer. Yeah, okay.
I mean, Autobot is the trans. That's what they call the good guys.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, I'm trying to remember whether it was GoBots or Autobots.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I enjoyed this movie. And this is the movie that I think of when anybody says, hey, have you seen Transformers? I'm like, yes. Shia LaBeouf Transformers. Yes. But anyways, what is on your Michael Bay Mount Rushmore?
The Rock 4 times. No, I mean, the island's not bad. The Rock, I guess the first Transformers. Like, it's a shitty Mount Rushmore, though, right? Like, it's not... I don't think he deserves one, to be honest. I don't think he has 4 films that deserve to be immortalized in stone. I think
he is on the fringe of a iconic status as a director.
I would even go so far as to say he's there. But that doesn't mean the movies are good. Like, none of these mean anything to me. And sure. I mean that, like, if they were thrown into a fire, you can't ever watch these again. I'd be like, okay, fine. You know, he makes a lot of money with his movies. And there's if you ever get a chance to watch the Alfred Hitchcock versus Steven Spielberg epic rap battle of history, it also features Michael Bay and Kubrick and some others. And it's really good because all these like directors are talking about how much they don't like Michael Bay movies. And then Michael Bay comes down. And he's like, bitch, I make a lot of money. So I get that. He makes a lot of money, but he doesn't make a lot of movies that I get emotionally involved in, that I want to watch over and over, that I would put on a Mount Rushmore to say that movie fucking slaps. You know, he just doesn't. And they're all popcorn to me, and there's a place for that. You know, I'm usually right there, right? I'm there for the popcorn of the two of us. I would say I'm probably more into it than you.
Yeah.
But yeah. None of them stand out to me as being anything other than fine. Even The Rock, while it's good and probably his best movie, is fine.
I don't know. There's,
you can tell me yours. I'm just giving you my opinion.
Right. And I respect the opinion. Mine is The Rock. I'm going to throw Bad Boys 1 and 2 on there.
As two different heads. One Will Smith, one Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then Armageddon.
Yeah.
All right. But, like, I just think that he is a director that goes, like, we talk all the time about certain directors have their thing, like Guillermo del Toro.
He's an explosions guy, right?
He is an explosions guy, right. And, you know, so you know what you're getting when you watch a Michael Bay movie. You should.
Yes, you should by now.
Pain and Gain is... Pain and Gain is kind of the outlier.
Yeah.
That's
a weird movie. That movie is based on an actual true crime event where people die, and it's a weird comedy, but it's like a dark comedy. I don't like that movie. It sucks.
But you know, if you take all of the Transformers outside of the first two out of his filmography, I think you probably your outlook on him is a bit different.
I know
it's unfair to say because he directed the fucking film. So
and it's true, and I think you're right. I think that the perception on Michael Bay didn't turn sour until the Transformers franchise. And then we got the Ninja Turtles. So like, fuck you, dude. You don't get the Ninja Turtles, right? Like,
well, he produced that movie.
Yeah.
He didn't direct
it. But it was very Ninja Turtle-y. Or not Ninja Turtle-y, but Michael Bay. It was like, wow, this is heavily Michael Bay. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand the characters. And then we get the new one, Mutant Mayhem, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the thing. He does try to make mass appeal films because he is very much a bring in the box office guy. But usually if your films aren't at least annoying someone, you know what I mean? Like, you can't please everyone all of the time. But if you make a really great movie, some people just aren't going to like it.
Yeah.
And none of his movies step into that place for me of being unique and interesting and, you know, that sort of thing.
Wait, one thing we didn't talk about is the insane product placement throughout this entire film.
Michael Bay's shit.
Right. But
that's explosions, yes. Product placement, also yes. Go back and watch The Island. That shit's insane.
Oh, yeah, you've talked about it before, yeah.
With the Bud Light, it zooms in on it, and the damn, like in this one, there was the Mountain Dew thing, the Xbox that turned into a robot.
Yeah. It's Chevrolet. It's Chevy.
Yeah, Chevrolet being the big one. I think all of those vehicles probably had to pay. And it's, again, he's a guy that is a studio director. That's, I think, why he gets the jobs, because not only do they pay, you know, big budgets, but then he goes out and he's able to put in all this product placement and he's fine with it, you know, and an artist, if you will. And I usually cringe at that word, but they would sort of balk at, hey, I don't want to do all this product placement, probably for good reason. But Michael Bay is very much like, fuck it, I'll fix it. I'll turn that shit into a Transformer. You know, the thing that I always say about The Island is the way it zooms in. Like, it just turns into a commercial. Like, in this, I don't think any of it is that bad, where it's like, Chevrolet, get it? The only time it gets that bad is when it turns from the old Camaro into the new one, and then you get that, bam, 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 and they get in, and you're like, oh, shit, because the new Camaro wasn't out yet, right? This is the first time.
This is the first time.
Yeah. So, and all of that's fine. Like, I don't hate Michael Bay. I think he does. You know, people go to see his movies, and you really like this Transformers, and you've seen all the other one. I can't hate on that. Great. It's not for me, but that's my thing. It's like, he's very much a, what does the studio want? I can do that, and it'll make a bunch of money, and he gets to make the next movie. He's doing his job. I would do that. You know, Jeff, here's $1 billion. Go make some shit that explodes. You got it. Right. I would do the same thing.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, you know, while most of his stuff is largely forgettable, you know, this is one of the films that stands out that I will always, like, somebody says Michael Bay, and I'm like, boom, Transformers. You know, I can tell you Bad Boys, The Rock, Transformers. And, you know, and I like the movie.
Cool.
Now, Jeff, do you recommend this?
No. I think you're fine moving on. I really just think it's fine. And I can't say that you're worse off for not having seen it.
Yeah, I'm not going to recommend it. I mean, it's entertaining. I think you'll have a good time. if you haven't seen it. But it is, it, I mean, it's not his best film, Michael Bay, and it is, it did launch a lot of other things in Hollywood, I think, this film. The age of the, what do they call them, the kaiju movies.
How many kaiju movies did we get? I guess no, maybe about
like
time?
Pacific Rim, okay, and... Yeah. You know,
and
the battleship
was
movie,
like first Iron Man in 07, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I think he did kind of start a trend in Hollywood for a brief for a time, you know, of like 5 years or so. But I'm not gonna recommend it. It's
of course
like
not.
It is not meet the threshold
even
of the Trap
you
House.
Would be hard pressed to be like, this is high cinema. It's fun. It's fun.
It's fun.
And like
right.
I said,
but
I
it will be
it
will be on a list at the end of the year, though. I think.
Do you think it's going to be in your top five?
Oh, top five? No, I was thinking top ten.
No, we do five.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I was thinking top ten.
Yeah, it's not going to be in your top five. I can't imagine it something being in your top five and you didn't recommend it. But
right,
it's your top
right,
five.
Right.
You do what you want. I once put a movie above the worst movie.
I know.
And I'm proud of that. It is something that helps me sleep at night, is that fucking Darren Aronofsky's movie is worse than Sils Maria. Anyway, even though it's not, but it kind of is. So, next week.
Even though it's not.
Let me ask you a question. What's your favorite David Schmoller movie?
I don't know who that is.
What's your, what do you fucking call it? Your Mount Rushmore, David Schmoller.
It doesn't have anything on it. He's still a mountain.
Yeah.
At this point.
So one of his films is a short film called Spanking Lessons.
Hmm.
Came out in 07. Same year as this. But we're not watching that. We're going to watch Puppet Master from 1989. Another film that started a long line of sequels. Are they good? I don't know. But
where is this streaming at?
Shit. I don't know. I don't want to click. I got to open a new tab because I don't want to close out of my GoBots. You might be on. This is the sort of shit I would find on Tubi, to be honest. But I don't.
It might be.
We might have a problem here.
If it doesn't exist anywhere.
Well, it says you can buy the DVD. Oh,
bro,
I'm
not buying this DVD. If
this watch
movie...
now free with ads on Prime.
Okay.
I'm going to see if Tubi has it free with ads or YouTube because I prefer them.
Anyways, once again, we'll give a shout out to the band's Group Project from Montreal, Canada with their song MCK. And you can hit the show notes, get all the links to their social media accounts. We appreciate them for allowing us to use their music here on our podcast. They're doing big things, so throw them a like, a follow, and a subscribe. And if you want to follow us on any of your social media, you can do so at Movie Draft House. We're here on YouTube as you're watching it, so make sure you hit the subscribe button when it pops up so you don't miss any future content here on the podcast. But you can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're everywhere, worldwide.
You can watch Puppet Master 9 free with ads on YouTube, but you know, don't do that.
If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter and tell him, hey man,
yes,
there were plenty of other movies that you could have picked that were streaming, but you didn't. You chose Puppet Master.
You're damn right I did.
You can find him on Twitter at Podcast by Jeff.
And if you want to get in touch with Mark and be like, really? Transformers, bro? You could do that at I Heard You Liked on Twitter.
And if you really want to rank your Transformers films, please do so. I'll be sure to block you. But
yeah.
Anyways, so we'll catch up with you all next week when we watch Puppet Master. Jeff, any words of wisdom?
No. I guess I could quote Sam Witwicky going, no, 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 that he does in just about every scene. Kissing in your marble down the kitchen.
there for the week and asked me if I missed you. You went to the beach and sent me bikini pictures, but my oh my, I want you to be mine, oh my. I'm not looking for a best friend, I'm looking for someone to take out every weekend, and I'll always write you letters, but I'll never press send. You can let me down easy, but I'm still gonna pretend that I've got options, but all my eggs are in your basket. Like you've got this secret code and I just cannot seem to crack it. She loves it when I chase her like that soda for your vodka. I can't wait to say I've got you while we're kissing in your marble counter kitchen. She just looking for a best friend, I'm looking for someone to take out every weekend, and I'll always write you letters, but I'll never press send. You can let me down easy, but I'm still gonna pretend that I've got options, but all my eggs are in your basket. Like you've got this secret code and I just cannot seem to crack it. She loves it when I chase her like that soda for your vodka. I can't wait to say she's just